Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode contains content on food and eating that may be sensitive to some listeners. The Adulting with ADHD podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. Please see a medical professional if you think you have ADHD or have ADHD and need additional assistance. For podcast archives, please visit patreon.com/adultingwithADHD. This is the Adulting with ADHD podcast, self-empowerment for people with ADHD. Today, I'm very excited to have with me Becca King. Becca is a dietitian who specializes in ADHD adults. Becca, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited to talk about this topic. How did you get into this line of work, Becca?
I actually got laid off at the beginning of the pandemic, and I was working in weight loss at the time, which is not really my area of nutrition or my passion, I would say. And I was actually working with a business coach and kind of trying to figure out my niche. And as I was working with a really good friend and thinking about my own journey with eating, I was like, there's nobody talking about nutrition for adults with ADHD. And I got really lucky. Obviously, I had a lot of free time at the beginning of the pandemic, and I used that time for focus and learn as much as I could more about ADHD, not just from my own personal perspective, but I'd done some polls and some Facebook support groups, and all these women were talking about how they struggled with binge eating and had ADHD. And I was like, there's no one talking about this. Like, and this is important. So I was like, I'm going to start talking about this. My business coach at first was a little apprehensive about it because she did like pediatric nutrition. So she just imagined like the little hyperactive boy. And I was like, no, that's not, I was like, there's more to it. And so that's kind of how I got here.
I know I had the same reaction. I was in a class once and someone had referenced their ADHD eating issues, also binge eating. And I had the same reaction, like, what is this?
Yeah.
So yeah, with all that said, if you're an ADHD adult, what's one of the most important things you need to know about this connection with food?
I think especially just that executive dysfunction can show up with food, and that if you are someone who struggles with feeding yourself regularly or meal planning, remembering to eat, being able to cook for yourself, all of that like can be challenging because there's so much executive functioning that goes into being able to nourish our bodies and our minds.
100%. And what would that look like? Like, let's take one of your examples. So Let's say I'm struggling in the kitchen with ADHD. Yeah. How does that look?
So it could be, you know, maybe it's being really overwhelmed and being like, okay, I don't even know where to start with a recipe. So I'll just order takeout again. Or, you know, maybe buying a bunch of groceries or especially produce and it just going to rot. You forget that it exists in your fridge and then you find it all rotting in there. So a lot of food waste can happen. Or, you know, you have all these great intentions for, maybe you do meal plan and you have these great intentions for all these recipes to make. And then you get home from work and you're just too exhausted or you don't have any spoons left to like actually make those meals for yourself.
Totally. And I have one. I totally hyper-focus. You've probably heard of this. I hyper-focus on recipes.
Yeah.
You have the best intentions. And then as soon as I procure everything I need, I immediately lose interest.
Yep. Yes. I had that happen to me at the beginning of the pandemic. I was like, I'm going to, you know, meal plan for 2 whole weeks so I don't have to go to the grocery store, which is like the opposite of how I do things. I go to the grocery store frequently or order groceries frequently so I can decide what sounds good in the moment because It changes a lot. And I did that and I picked all these recipes. Pinterest that I'd never made before. And I think I maybe made one or two of them. And the rest of it, I either just like randomly snacked on or it like went to waste. And I was like, well, you learned a lesson. We're not going to meal plan for 2 weeks. That doesn't work for our brain.
That sounds exactly like me. So what are some of the signs? Let's say you're an ADHD adult. What are some signs you may be struggling with disordered eating?
Yeah. Going really long periods of time without eating. And then by the time you do eat, you might be ravenous. So you might overeat or potentially even binge and it's not necessarily, I would say it's a more of an unintentional form of restriction. So for a lot of my clients, it's, you know, they're on meds that suppress their appetite. So they don't realize it, or they're hyper-focused and, you know, it feels like it's been 30 minutes, but it's been 4 hours since you had your last meal or snack sorts of things. Maybe if you are more of a perfectionist, you know, maybe not eating something because the, you know, the quote unquote healthy option or the best option isn't available. So you just skip eating. Other things that can happen, I try not to demonize this, but I wouldn't necessarily say it falls in line with disordered eating, but recognizing that food can be a source of stimulation for some folks or a way to help regulate emotions as well. But I try not to demonize those behaviors because I think food can be a part of that toolkit for us. But for some folks, it might be something that they rely on as their only coping tool for emotions or for stimulation. And that can, you know, turn into overeating or binge eating because it's, you know, the only thing you're relying on. Other things I see a lot, sometimes even using your meds as a tool to suppress your appetite or as a weight loss tool sometimes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think sometimes that gets overlooked a little bit, or I would say people being hopeful of like, ooh, I'm on an appetite suppressant, so I'm going to lose weight. And it's like, that's not what's going to happen most likely.
Yeah, totally. And I guess I should have, this isn't all my questions, but I should have asked first, how do you define disordered eating? How that term come about? What does it mean?
So it's different in the sense, okay, so an eating disorder has criteria like ADHD and the DSM-5 to meet a diagnosis. Disordered eating could be behaviors that are quote unquote not the norm when it comes to eating, but don't meet a specific criteria for like binge eating or anorexia or bulimia. It's, you know, it's just those behaviors. A lot of times, a lot of dieting behaviors are looked at as helpful behaviors, but they're often very disordered. Unfortunately, for a lot of folks, if you're in larger bodies, you know, diet culture will tell us, hey, that's fine that you're doing that. But if someone who's in a smaller body does those behaviors, it's like, you have disordered eating. And so it's kind of one of those things, kind of that gray area.
The intersitual. Yeah. Thanks for making that distinction. It's one of those things, like, I know when I experience it, or I know when I see it, but I don't really know how to define it. So that's a great distinction there.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know if you've ever been put on a waiting list, but therapy is hard to come by these days. If you need therapy and you need someone to talk to, consider BetterHelp. I've been using BetterHelp on and off since the pandemic, and it's honestly been really helpful when I can't reach my normal therapist. To save 10% off your first month, visit betterhelp.com/ADHD adulting. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ADHD adulting.
So yeah, let's say, all right, let's go with me. I think I might have disordered eating. What's my first step on this journey to kind of get to the bottom of that?
So I use the intuitive eating framework with my clients. I think if you are struggling with your relationship with food, working with a dietitian who has experience working with folks that have ADHD can be really helpful and help navigate that with you. Because usually if they don't understand ADHD and how that is going to show up in food, it usually they can address some of the challenges with eating, but then there will still be kind of a missing piece there often.
Yeah. Just to reinforce your point, I've been a chronic dieter my whole life, but I finally partnered up with, you know, and basically a nutritionist, a dietitian, someone who actually has background in this stuff, and she's ADHD and knows exactly. You know, and I will say for listeners, like, that's the first time I've actually seen lasting results and felt really good about it.
Yeah.
And it's such a huge piece, but like you said at the beginning of our convo, like, not a lot of people are talking about it. So that's, that's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear you talk about this, because it really is a huge, in my opinion, underserved area of the space.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of folks, like, you get like the normal things that show up that we get told all the time with being ADHD, you know, having ADHD of like, oh, you're just lazy. Like, you know, maybe it's using, you know, what I call shortcuts or convenience foods, you know, to to make cooking easier for you. And it's like, oh, why can't you just chop the vegetables? It's not that hard. It's like, you're just being lazy. And it's like, no. That might not be a skill for someone who has ADHD or something that, you know, if that's the part of the cooking process that prevents you from cooking, then buying pre-chopped vegetables or a frozen bag of vegetables is a great option for you, you know, kind of thing.
Totally. And I wanted to go back to intuitive eating. How would you tell someone what that is who's not really familiar with it?
Yeah. So it's a self-care framework and it does have validated assessment tools and things like that. It is very researched, but it's a non-diet approach to nutrition. So the goal of intuitive eating is more of a weight neutral approach. So it's not necessarily focused on eat this or don't eat that or count your calories, all of that stuff. It's moving away from all of that external, all of the external cues and things that we do in terms of what, when, and how much to eat and turning inward and really rebuilding back trust with our bodies again. If you think about babies, they're basically, we're born intuitive eaters, right? They cry when they're hungry. And when they're full, you know, they either fall asleep or they turn their head away from the bottle or the breast. And, you know, as we get older, we start getting all these messages from, you know, family and society about what, when, and how much to eat. And that really, you know, can inhibit our ability to listen to our bodies or make it more challenging. So it's kind of getting back to that place.
Yeah, I'm gonna try thinking like a baby.
Yeah.
Totally. I love that so much because it really is at that point just about feeding your body. Like they don't even know anything else.
Yeah. And kids are amazingly intuitive too. Like it's always, you know, it's some people always like it's so like when I work with clients and they either have kids themselves or nieces or nephews who will say things and they're just like be so carefree about food or just, you know, they'll have ice cream and stop eating the ice cream when they're full and be like, here you go, I'm done. And they're like, wait, what? Like you could just stop eating it. Like, and I think it's cool to see that, you know, you can see it. If a child is capable of having that relationship with food, I think we can all get back to those places if you don't feel that way now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have a 5-year-old and I just, sometimes it's like, who's teaching who here? It's like, yeah. You are so smart. Yes, leave the ice cream. You've already gotten your enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Becca, I really have loved this conversation here. And for people who are listening, where can they keep up with you and kind of see what you're about online?
Yeah. I am most active on Instagram and you can find me at ADHD.nutritionist.
Excellent, Becca. Well, thank you so much for being here today, and I will be in touch.
Yes, thank you for having me, Sarah.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pair.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.